for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Saturday afternoon service of December the 31st, 1988. Tape number 20 of the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. The Moody's are the teachers of the afternoon.
Well, Brother Gene, the Lord bless you and us. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Glenn. Need a bigger podium for all my books and Bibles and everything. Take my glasses off so I can see. I broke my bifocals this morning. I have a few comments to preface this lesson with. This has been a deliverance camp, possibly the best yet. There has been good personal and mass deliverance. The teaching has been strong and has emphasized deliverance. The fasting and praying has really stirred up the demons. The praise and singing have been wonderful. I like to see the demons stirred up. Now, do you realize we have been in a fierce battle with the enemy? You need to realize that the following are weapons against the enemy. Personal and mass deliverance, teaching and preaching the Word of God, fasting and praying, praise and singing godly songs. Do you know that fasting is warfare to set the captives free? How many of you realize that when you fast, you're entering into warfare? Raise your hand. Right. So it's not unusual to stir up the demons when you fast. Okay, we did. We got them on the run. Praise God. The title of my lesson is Christian Fantasy, Lies, Not Truth. Glenn says that another title for this lesson is Christian Tradition. I'm going to ask Glenn if he wants to comment about the lesson or add to it after I finish the teaching. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to come up and either correct me or add to this. I've already talked with Tommy. I asked Tommy to check out what I've got to say about prophecy. We had a good meeting with the men. The questions lead up to this lesson. So it tells me that the timing for this lesson is with the Lord. We've already cast out some of the demons out of the men. So if the men don't, one of the ladies this morning though is telling me she wanted to see the men be more demonstrative. Well, they were demonstrative in the men's meeting today. So unfortunately, if I've already cast them out, I can't cast them out again. Okay, Christian fantasy, lies, not truth. This is another hard-hitting lesson. If I didn't step on your toes, didn't step on the women's toes the other day, I ought to get some of you with some of these today. Probably end up with every one of you mad at me, but I want you to think. See, the name of the game in Christianity is think. Use your brain. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Check it out with the Holy Word of God. We frequently encounter Christian fantasy, especially in the full gospel movement. Now, let's go through some scripture. Hosea 4:6. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Well, we perish for lack of knowledge. We perish for our ignorance. 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You must study by yourself. You cannot depend on others to teach you everything. In other words, you can't come up to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and depend upon the people in the pulpit to teach you everything. You have to work at home. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Many times you will get little scripture in a message and a lot of men's words. The Bible, from cover to cover, must be read repeatedly and meditated upon. So, many times, most of what you hear is man's words, which there's a lot of good in man's words, but many times it's mostly man's words and very little scripture. And I thank God that the people who come up here, they let you have it with the scripture. Okay. Now, James 1:22. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It does no good just to read and hear the word of God. You must put it into practice. Head knowledge will get you to hell. Heart knowledge will get you to heaven. As you can see from these scriptures, you must study the whole Bible and put it into practice. We are not just New Testament Christians ignoring the Old Testament. We are children of God following the whole Word of God. Now a little testimony. After Byron died, I decided to quit playing church.
Who's Byron?
My son. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My only son died. He had a tragic accident. And through this, many wonderful things have happened early in life. God audibly spoke to us. It was really, you know, it was a very tragic experience with our son dying. It was a very wonderful experience with the Lord. And the Lord kept us. We sought the Lord. And thank God, many times when people go through this, they seek. They will not seek the Lord. They turn away from God. And God did many wonderful things for us. And it took us 4 years just to become stable again. Almost destroyed our family. But out of that, I like to think of the good things. See, had Byron not died, we would have just been your traditional Christian. And we would have been going about our merry way, and I would have been on my way to managing some engineering company. I was a chief engineer at the time. So, through Byron's death, praise God, and I really truly believe this, through Byron's death, he will share in what we've done here on earth. Byron will share in the rewards for the people that we've helped. I really truly believe that. But had it not been for Byron's death, I wouldn't be up here helping you. I would probably be out there seeing just how much money I could make and how big a position I could have and how many companies I could run or whatever. But through Byron's death, I'm here trying to help you. And I just rejoice in the people that we've been able to help through the years. And I look back and I say, praise God, Byron shares in that. Thank God. So up to that time, I was just playing church. I was a two-bit Christian, like I told them then. I go to church and I give them 2 bits, give them a buck or two. And I've always had a good job. I've been a graduate engineer for many years. I've always made a good salary. But I didn't give it to God. And I really regretted that. And after my son died, I tried to make up for it by trying to give away everything we had through condemnation and shame. God finally dealt with me there too and got me straightened out. I'm an extremist. My daughter calls me an extremist. I go from one extreme to another. I go out here and then God shows me I'm wrong, so I head back over there and he shows me I'm wrong, and finally I end up in the middle after he's dealt with me for a few years. So I started following God as my Lord, my Master, and my Savior. And before then, he was my only Christ. If Jesus is just your Christ, that's not enough. He needs to be your Lord and your Master. I was concerned because I had not gone to the seminary of Bible school. So when I started following God, you know, I didn't have the theological education, but I had a real sincere desire to follow God. And so the Lord told me, just take the Bible in simple childlike faith, put it into practice, and watch it work. And this is what we have done for many years. And so since that time, we follow those instructions, and we've seen signs and wonders and miracles follow our ministry. If you would like to see signs and wonders and miracles follow your ministry, and all of you have a ministry, it's not just the people who get up here. Every Christian has a ministry. God showed me that many years ago. And that's what led me into what I call our ministry. It's basically a part-time ministry, and I have a business of my own that I make my living in. But every one of you has one or more gifts. Every one of you has a ministry. Okay, so how do you see signs and wonders and miracles come about in your ministry? You preach and teach the Word of God, the unadulterated Word of God, and then you put it into practice, and God honors His Word. All right, let's look at the truth. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. And we'll systematically go through the Bible. I try to keep these things in chronological order. Don't always do it. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He is a rock. His work is perfect, and all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Isaiah 65, verse 16. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 16. 65, 16. That he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. So this is the God of truth. Our God is the one and only God. He is the God of truth. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 24. It's like we're going to go back. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 24. And a woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." So by this she knew that he was a man of God. You'll know a man of God because the truth will come out of his mouth or out of her mouth. If you are of God, then the truth will flow from your mouth. Jeremiah 4:2. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 2. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 2. "And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth, in truth, in judgment, in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory." The Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. Many Christians fall into Satan's trap that God is love only and not judgment also. John 4, 23. John chapter 4, verse 23. "But the hour cometh, and is now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." So we worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Some are not true worshippers, but are hypocrites that are putting on a religious show, and this stinks in God's nostrils. John 14:6. "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Unless we accept Jesus Christ on his terms, we will never come to the Father. We've had people come to us, and they want Jesus on their terms. It just doesn't work that way, folks. You either take Jesus the way he says take him, or you don't get him. And you don't come to the Father. 1 John 1:8. 1 John 1:8. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." There was only one perfect person on the earth, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All others sin. To be perfect, you must completely follow the whole Word of God every moment of your life. Galatians 4:16. "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Do you get mad at Earlene and me because we tell you about the hard sins in the Bible and do not pet you in your sins and weaknesses? We call this petting demons. Do y'all get mad at us? Well, that's too bad. We've got to tell the unadulterated Word of God. Now let's look at lies. We looked at truth. Now let's look at what the Bible says about lies. Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23:19. "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" God does not lie, but man does. 1 Samuel 15:29. 1 Samuel 15:29. "Then said Jonathan, my father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you how mine eyes have been enlightened, because I tasted a little of this honey." Okay, let's see, I must be in chapter 14. I'm in the wrong chapter, sorry. Sorry, folks. Okay, 1 Samuel 15:29. "And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent." That's a lot better. Okay, God doesn't have to repent for lying, but man should. Job 11:3. Job chapter 11, verse 3. "Should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed?" Let's look at Ezekiel 13:10. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 10. Because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. The ministry cries, peace, peace, when America and the world are deteriorating into sin and degradation. Proverbs 6:19. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19. "A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." There are a lot of pat phrases in the Christian world that are not true when put to the test. This is false witness and deceives others. Proverbs 19:9. Proverbs 19, verse 9. "A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish." Sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? "It is dangerous to follow false teachings of any kind, and you will perish in some manner. You will pay for any ear of the Bible that you're ignorant of. As Erling says, you will burn while you learn." Isaiah 9:15. The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet and teacher, the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. Instead of being a head of Christianity, he will be the tail. Isaiah 28, verse 15. Because you have said we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Are Christian fables your refuge? Isaiah 63:8. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their savior. God's people do not lie. And I just thought, just came to me what Earlene said, women frequently lie. Watch that, women. That's dangerous, as I just read. Jeremiah 14:14. Jeremiah 14:14. Jeremiah 14:14. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. People prophesy in the name of God, but the prophecy comes from their soul. It's a soulish prophecy that frequently ends with, thus saith the Lord. Jeremiah 23:14. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 14. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. How many preachers and teachers have you seen committing adultery and teaching lies? There's spiritual adultery and physical adultery. Do you think that someone who commits physical adultery is a preacher or a teacher? They're committing physical adultery, and in their office, you think they're telling you all the truth? Not likely. 23:25. Jeremiah 23:25. I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. These are false prophets with false dreams. Jeremiah 23:32. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Okay, they cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. False prophecy will cause the people to err. Ezekiel 13:19. Ezekiel 13:19. Ezekiel 13:19. And will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, to slay the souls that should not die, and to save the souls alive that should not live, by your lying to my people that hear your lies? This is talking about false prophetesses. You've got false men and false women that prophesy. Acts chapter 5, verse 4. Because it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was so, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Some lies are unto God. If you say your soulish prophecy is from God, then you're lying about God. 1 Timothy 4:2. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Hypocrites who depart from the faith continue to teach lies. Romans 1:25. Romans 1:25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. God will give Christians over to vile affections who want to believe lies. Hebrews 6:18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. It is comforting to know that God does not lie, and we can rely upon His Word. That really comforts me, to know that I can totally rely upon this, I can totally rely upon God. But I can't rely upon any of you. I can't rely on Gene and Earlene. See, we're unreliable. We're basically unreliable. We make mistakes. Okay, who is totally reliable? What book is totally reliable? Okay, I really have comfort to know that I can completely, I can place my life on this book. Life or death. By life or death, I stand on this book. Okay, Christian fables and cliches. There are many fables and cliches, call them tradition. This is Glenn's word, tradition, that are passed off as the gospel. Generally, these are sayings that make you feel good. How many churches have you gone to that basically their approach is to make you feel good? Bless me clubs. They take many different forms. If repeated often enough, the Christian would believe they are true. What happened in Germany? If you tell a lie often enough, people will believe it's true. Some of these follow. The list could go on and on. God will do everything for you. You don't have to do anything for yourself. Now, God will always do his part of the covenant. You must do yours also. I like these little sayings that Earlene comes up with. God won't brush your teeth. No, he'll let your teeth rot out of your mouth. Is it God's responsibility to brush your teeth? No, it's your responsibility. That's a simple little lesson in that saying. Now, God will take care of your family if you take care of God's business. We have no right to neglect our families. Many pastors neglect their families to their sorrow. All of God's promises are ours. The promises are ours only if we meet the conditions. For every promise, there is a condition. Now let's look at some deliverance myths. There is much ignorance and myths about deliverance. Deliverance is the most misunderstood part of the Christian life. Most traditional Christians know little or nothing about Satan and his army. They do not believe they have a personal devil, Satan. Most full gospel Christians do not believe that a Christian can have a demon in the body or soul. Satan is eating their lunch and they think it is just the flesh. Many deliverance workers and ministers do not realize how demonized they still are as well as the Christian body. Sometimes they fall by the wayside because they do not continue to purge their bodies of demons. Deliverance is the most controversial and unpopular part of the Christian life. Unless a church gets involved on a regular basis with deliverance, many Christians will continue to be defeated by Satan. The devil will use their ignorance to plague the church. When the Christian finally accepts that he can have a demon, the response is that he can only have a few demons. How soon have you heard that? Somebody finally comes in deliverance. Now, I believe that a Christian can have a demon. Well, I can only have a few demons. Who was it? Mary Magdalene that had seven demons cast out of her? You realize that was seven families of demons, not seven families. When the young Christian starts to cast out demons, he will make statements like, "You are completely free of demons." I wouldn't tell anybody that. I wouldn't tell you that Earl and I are completely free of demons. Because we found out that Christians are very demonized. Christians can have thousands of demons. You can be in the ministry and have thousands of demons. Jesus never told anyone in the Bible that they were completely free of demons. He spent days casting out demons from the multitudes. Now let's look at some prophecy myths. I asked Tommy, I added a paragraph at the end here about divination, but I asked Tommy about this just to see if I was on track. Prophecy can be a blessing or a curse. Personal prophecy has caused some Christians to try to make the prophecy come true with disastrous results. The most dangerous danger from abuse lies in personal prophecy. Charismatic witches use personal prophecy to try to control others. The true prophet does not make any mistakes. And this I better Bill was telling me to be a little more specific in the men's meeting. This is the office of the prophet, like Jack was saying last night. Okay, the office of the prophet, the true prophet, does not make any mistakes. All of his prophecies come true. In the Old Testament, if the prophet missed God, he was stoned. I wonder what would happen if we killed the false prophets today. Praise God. Wouldn't be so many false prophets around, would they? They'd be very careful to prophesy. Okay. Many prophecies are soulish prophecies which are made up in the mind of man or woman. Frequently do not line up with the Bible. Sometimes people prophesy just to be noticed. Some prophecy is divination. We have heard of churches being destroyed by divination. I guess I better carry that on. Divination is a false gift of prophecy. It has destroyed churches and people across the land. I know of a deliverance pastor, and this is also known to this camp, whose church was almost destroyed, as well as his family, by divination. The prophecies are right on, but the purpose is to take over and control the church. It's amazing. The satanic gift of divination, which is the opposite of the gift of prophecy, is right on. These people can come into your church and read your life, and you don't know them. And yet they do it in a way, it's to take over the church, it's to take over the pastor and his family, and I've even seen it to where it's to take over the property. Okay, so what is divination for? Divination is for control. So you have to be very careful.
Let me make a remark.
Okay.
Prophecy. There was an evangelist, to the people, he was pretty good, but he used prophecy to control the people, and he used prophecy for money. And he made a statement to a certain party one time that he needed to go up to his room and get a good prophecy ready because it'd be worth $100 bill in his pocket that night from a certain party that was in the audience. Now, what kind of a prophet was that? That was his purpose for having, because this certain party slipped $100 bill in his pocket every time he gave her a good prophecy. Now, there are people who go around the country from meeting to meeting just looking for a prophecy. They live by prophecy. They're living by divination. That's what they're living by. And that is an abomination to God, to the person. The person is an abomination, and the person who gives them the prophecy is and those are the people that the Lord's talking about, the stone. People think these are wonderful people. They think they're just glorious, and they're an abomination to the household of faith. They're destroying the household of faith and the ministry of a true prophet.
Yes, that's right. I might carry that a little further. Be careful who you give your money to.
That's right.
The Bible says, freely have received, freely give. So as ministers, or Christians, we're supposed to freely give to others. We're not supposed to be expecting a return. Now, some ministries make their living. They have, you know, they deserve to be paid. But you have to be very careful who you give your money to.
Not paid that way.
Yes, right. When Byron died, before I told you I was a two-bit Christian. And when Byron died, I tried to give everything away. And so anybody who came through town, I would just automatically write them out a check. And I didn't have any discernment whatsoever. Later on, I found some of these were these people were false. They were charlatans. And a number of times, Earlene has just got fierce at me as I would write out a check, because she had the discerning of spirits. And she could tell these people were false. I couldn't tell they were false. I was under condemnation and guilt. So don't let your condemnation, your guilt, cause you to support the wrong people. You have a responsibility to check out everything you see, hear, or read by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit within you, and by your intelligence. Otherwise, you will follow every wind of doctrine. So, I would not deceive you. I have no reason to deceive you. But everything that I say to you, you need to check it out. You need to be sitting out there very alert, listening to me, checking me out. You don't just accept everything I say. I don't know everything. I'm learning. I expect to be learning when I die. I don't know everything about deliverance. I expect... That's right. So, and really, I tell you what I believe. I believe when we pass through the veil and we get with God, that He's going to spend many years teaching us what we don't know. That's my own personal belief. Now, I can't back it up with Scripture. But I just feel like we have so much to learn that when we finally pass through, God will probably spend 10,000 years or a million years teaching us about it or whatever. I just really don't believe that when I walk through the veil, I will have all knowledge. I think that's one of the things we'll do in heaven. We'll be being taught the things that we didn't learn here on earth. Now, that's just Gene's idea. I didn't get that out of the Bible, but that's just what I personally believe. Battle myths are myths about the battle. And we've been in a battle this week. There are many myths about the Christian warfare. Most Christians don't know that we're in a battle. Actually, we're in a life and death battle with Satan and his host of demons. We have to fight to take the kingdom of God by force from the enemy. Do you take the kingdom of God from force from Jesus Christ? He's trying to give it to you. He said, here, take it according to my terms and conditions. You can have it. It's a free gift of God. All you have to do is meet the biblical conditions. Okay, but you have to, what belongs to you, you have to fight for it. You have to take it by violence from the enemy. Now, a lot of people don't like to hear me say this. Satan is a good devil, and he works 24 hours a day to destroy us. He will probably take 98% of the world population to hell with him. His army consists of billions of demons and fallen angels. He has multiplied demons for every person on earth. You will be tempted until you die. God will not stop the temptation, but will make a way for you to escape. Okay, if you're tempted, do you sin? No, it's only when you yield to the temptation. And you'll be tempted until you die.
You said, I think you ought to rephrase. I mean, in my opinion, you said he's a good devil. What you mean, he's good at what he's doing.
Right, absolutely. Okay, let me rephrase that. I look at Satan as, I may have to rephrase this too, call him a worthy adversary. In other words, I look at Satan as the second most powerful spiritual being in the kingdom of God. He is less powerful, so he's a worthy adversary. He's good at what he does. Okay, he spent thousands of years figuring out how to destroy you, how to take you to hell. He knows human personalities. He knows how we work. He knows how to play upon our weaknesses and so forth. So he knows us. So it's like I spent a measly 13 to 14 years in deliverance trying to figure out how Satan has set these traps up to destroy us. You know, I mean, in my lifetime, I'll never be able to figure out all the traps and the wiles of Satan. I'm constantly learning. Okay, so he's very good at what he does. He is a worthy adversary. You have to learn the wiles of Satan. You should not be ignorant about the wiles of Satan. And I thank God for this camp. A lot of the wiles of Satan are exposed here. You need to learn to war in the spirit world to protect yourself and your family. The best defense against Satan is a good offense against him. God didn't provide any armor for our backs as cowards running from the enemy. Do you notice that? Read Ephesians chapter 6. There is no armor for your back. You face the enemy, you fight him, you stand, you take what belongs to you and your family. You're at war. You're in a battle. We've been in a battle this week. This is just part of the overall war. Now, let's look at some myths in general. There is a single answer. Now, this is a negative part I'm reading to you here. It's not positive. There is a single answer to my problems and living the Christian life. My problems in life can be worked out overnight. We can pick and choose what part of the Bible to follow. It is not necessary to discipline our soul or body. We can let our mind be blank and God will fill it. We do not have to take care of our body. God will heal us when we get sick. We can let others feed us spiritually. We don't need to do it ourselves. We don't need to go to church. All we have to do is watch television evangelism. If we don't like deliverance, we can't ignore it. God will supply everything we desire. If we can just find an anointed man or woman of God, they will pray for me and everything will be fine. We can live with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. If you do God's work, you can ignore your responsibilities. I can be a passive Christian and watch others work. The pastor and the leaders do the work, not me. I am not in a war. God will fight all my battles. All I have to do is follow my pastor. He will hear from God for me. We can live a sinful life and receive all of God's blessings. I can sin, get forgiven, and my family will not suffer. All we need to have in the church is token deliverance. Do you know what token deliverance is? Or playing deliverance? Is deliverance a parlor game? I think for some Christians it is. They like token deliverance, surface deliverance. It's a parlor game to them. No, they better not do that. And a lot of churches have parlor games for deliverance. Just to say we've got deliverance. Okay, that won't cut it. You can't play with the devil just so you can say, many pastors, I know one pastor in my town, yeah, we've got deliverance in our church, but it's token, it's shallow, it's a parlor game, it's misleading. Rejection is not a demon. I can tell you that we've dealt with rejection through the years. The rejection is a very strong demon. It causes many people very many problems. I have a right to my unforgiveness because of the way that I have been treated. Sex is love. Bad emotions are not demonic. I do not have to examine every area of my life. I can keep cursed objects without causing any harm. We can get all of our demons cast out in one grand event. I can be ashamed of my deliverance. God won't mind. When someone makes me mad, I can react however I feel. I can be ignorant of Satan's wiles. What I don't know can't hurt me. God is love. He won't send me to hell. I can do anything I want to. God will protect me. God is pie in the sky by and by. We can be gluttons as long as we're not drunkards. I do not need to get my demons cast out. All I need to do is get prayer for me to be healed. It is all right to take mind-controlled drugs. I need to go to a psychiatrist. God is not interested in my mind. The sins of my ancestors will not cause me any problems. I can do things my way. God will approve. Now, let's look at some things that I haven't covered. This was the last lesson I wrote, and I didn't get a chance to spend as much time on it as I wanted to. But things I have not covered that Glenn might want to talk about are holidays, puppetry, origin of evil, false strength, divine order, separation of healing and deliverance, taking care of the body, what you sow, that you reap. Christians are not cursed, and parlor games won't hurt you. Some of these areas that I have not covered are holidays, puppetry, origin of evil. In other words, where did evil come from? False strength. People have false strength of people. Their belief of their strength and where it comes from is a false strength. Divine order in the home, in the church, and so forth. The separation of healing and deliverance. In other words, healing and deliverance don't go hand in hand. Taking care of the body. Well, you don't have to take care of the body. You sow what you reap. In other words, whatever you sow, you will reap it. It'll follow you down your lifetime. Christians are not cursed. Christians can't be cursed. Jesus took all the curses on the cross. And parlor games. In other words, you can read the horoscope in the paper, or you can play deliverance in church, or whatever. Those are just some of the general topics that I didn't get a chance to go into.
We might just make a few comments about holidays. We all know that what Halloween stands for, or do we? See, I went to church all my life. I was Sunday school superintendent of, last Sunday I was there, I think we had about 250 or 60, 70, something like that in Sunday school. And I was Sunday school superintendent 9 years, and every year we had a big Halloween party. I mean, we threw a shindig. I should have known better, but I didn't. Nobody taught me any better. My pastor just took just as much in it as I did, but he should have taught me better. He should have taught the people better. He should have taught us what Halloween stood for. And I didn't learn anything about that until years later. I learned about Halloween. Well, what is about Halloween? Well, it's a day that's set aside to worship Satan. It's a day for Satan worship. And all these masks and everything, really, I know now they make some that look like for mock people with them, but really all these distorted figures and all images of demons. And so when you dress a child up and put these masks on, you're dressing them up to represent a demon. I used to build at our house what I called a witch's tunnel. And I built the whole length of the house. Man, I had everything in there. I had ghosts and goblins and skeletons and lights and noises and everybody come to the Halloween party. Yeah, a Christmas party. The Halloween party at our house to go through the witch's tunnel. And all we were doing was playing with demons. Lord, forgive me. And when I really think about it, it bothers me. And I say, Lord, forgive me. And help all those that I led astray that way, that somehow they'll come to the knowledge of the truth. And then you come along and you pick up Easter. Well, Easter, there's nothing, it's an abomination to God. Easter is. The very word Easter has nothing to do with God. It's an abominable word. The word Easter comes from the word Estar, or the Queen of Heaven, or Nimrod's wife. Actually, where it goes back to Nimrod's wife. Easter's been around ever since Nimrod, back in Babylon. We've had Easter, because it was the worship of the Queen of Heaven. The Queen of Heaven's been around ever since Nimrod, because Nimrod's wife set herself up as the Queen of Heaven, set herself up to be worshipped as a goddess. And everything that we associate with Easter, except Calvary itself, is an abomination to God. The sunrise service that every church in the country almost has is an abomination to God. Because what the sunrise service really is the worship of the sun, a heathen religion, the worship of the sun. You study it. Go look up in your encyclopedia. Find it. It'll tell you. That's where it originated, the worship of the sun, the sunrise service. And we call it God. Bunny rabbits is the worship of fertility. The Easter egg is a worship of fertility. It's all heathen worship. The painting of the Easter egg is a heathen custom. We come back to Valentine's Day. Now, that's the last one. Well, let's leave it. Come back to Christmas. Jesus wasn't born on December the 25th. That was a day that was set aside. December the 25th was set aside for the time of the solace, when of a new beginning, the first day of the changeover from the shortness to the beginning of the long. It was the birth of a new beginning. And it was worshipped through pagan worship and as the new beginning. Well, Jesus was a new beginning, all right. But his birthday's back, I believe, on the Day of Trumpets. That's when the angels came and sounded the trumpets. And where'd they come? They come to the lowly. They didn't go tell the kings and queens. They came and told the shepherds on the hillsides that there was a king born in the land. He was born at the time when the sheep were still out in the timber. Or out in the field, not when they had been brought in to the sheepfold. So it was in the fall. It was in the time when it was still warm. It was at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's when I believe that Jesus was born. Also believe that's when he's going to come again, during the feast, at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. Then, the Christmas tree. Study the Christmas tree, the log, the drinking, lights on the balls on a Christmas tree is to the worship of the sun god. The lights we put on a Christmas tree is also to the worship of the sun god. The tinsel is put on the Christmas tree, and all of that all has its origin in heathen satanic worship. And the Christmas tree also comes from Nimrod. After Nimrod was dead, Samaritanus, she took the cedar tree that grew, the green tree, and said that Nimrod had returned and he had come back to life, and his life had come in this green tree that came up that was green and never died. That's the originally of the Christmas tree. That's where it started, way back there before in Babylon is where it began. And so we need to be careful about what we worship and what we set up in our house, because when you set that up, you're setting a god up in your house. You're setting a god up to Satan, to some of his that he has brought in. And Christmas was brought in by, Constantine, when he tried to bring all Christianity to the world, and in so doing, he blended it together to try to bring the people in. He blended it together, and it was heathen worship, but he did it and said that they became Christians now, and they made that day that was their day of worshiping the new beginning. He made that Jesus' birthday, and he brought the heathen all into Christianity, so he said. But they never really got saved or anything. He just called them Christians now and made them Christians. Well, I don't know. I could just, there's no end almost to this subject. Yeah, let's pick up the other holiday, Valentine's Day. That always seemed like such a nice day. Irma always got $100 bill and a box of chocolate heart candy. But you know, Valentine's Day is a deadly day. It's deadly. You know, Valentine's is also, you know, the lupus disease. Are you aware of what lupus is? Well, that's associated with Valentine's Day. Lupus is this disease where your face deteriorates and your bottom jaw goes back and deteriorates and drops back, and your face becomes distorted. It's also known as the wolf disease. People, your face turns to the shape of a wolf when it does that. It's known as the wolf disease. And the word Valentine, that's what it means. But we take the heart with the arrow and the cupids in it. You know, our kids need to learn these things, need to learn them, and we need to teach them. The Valentine, the heart, stands for a woman's sex organ, and the arrow for the male. That's what it means. You'll find it in your encyclopedia if you go study your encyclopedia, at least the old ones. It's all there, but we're ignorant. Because of lack of knowledge. Scripture says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. How true that is. And Satan's had a heyday, and is having a heyday with the Christian people, because they're taking party in all of his satanic things and we don't haven't known anything about witches. It's just been the last, what, 4 or 5 years. We really learned about Valentine's Day. We learned about it because we knew somebody, we knew more than one person who had lupus disease and began to do a study on it. And in the study of it, we found out all these things, studying to see what it was. We've got a little booklet back there about Irma that we've written on Valentine. It's back there on the table, a little booklet. But these things are deadly, and yet we're partaker of the poison. We're partaker of the poison. You say, you're getting straight-laced. Yeah, well, I'm not. Jesus is. Jesus said that you'd have no other gods before me. He said, if you do, so I'll spew you out of my mouth. So help us that we not have any other gods before us. That as we learn these things, that we'll not rebel against them. That's the biggest problem. When we learn these things, about 95% or more of the people rebel against them and say, I don't believe that. I'm not going to have anything to do with that. I don't believe that. That's the truth. Oh, I've had them come and tell me, you're a fanatic. Well, I didn't get this way because I wanted to be. I got this way because I began to see the Word of the Lord, and that the Word of the Lord told me these things, and when I found out their origin and what they stood for, and that they stood for other gods, God says you're not to have any other god before you. So we've got to decide who's going to be God. What, sister?
Lupus is incurable.
Well, unless the Lord heals. Mm-hmm. But the Lord has brought healing. We've had, just recently, somebody's been healed from lupus that we know of. There was another remark I made. Now I don't remember what it was.
Okay, I want you to stay there.
I started to talk about something else, and then I said, well, I'd better leave that alone.
Okay, I want you to stay there, because I want to ask you some questions. Do you have to take care of your body?
Well, Paul said that he ran the race, and if you're going to run the race, you got to take care of your body. So he ran the race to win. So if he was going to run the race to win, he couldn't win if he hadn't taken care of his body.
Amen.
You can put that in the natural or the spiritual, or the spiritual, whichever way you want to look at it.
Do you reap what you sow?
You sure do. You reap what you sow. If you don't take care of your body. Now, okay, I'm an example. And I was ignorant. But I'm still reaping what I sowed. And unless God does a miracle for me somewhere, I will, which he has done many, I will reap it as long as I live. But when I was young, we owned a dairy. And you're told we drank milk. I don't know what it had been to me if it had been homogenized milk. I'd probably be dead. But it happened that it was raw milk, natural milk. And I got to the place, we had milk, we had it on the table in the pitchers full. We had 3 or 4 gallon every day, every meal. And we had a pitcher on each end of the table. And I got to the place where I never drank water. And when we got married, I hardly drank water. I drank an average, a quart of milk at every meal. I drank a quart, that was my average. I averaged almost about a gallon of milk a day that I drank. That's ringing back in my ears. And I almost ruined my kidneys. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I used to come down with high fever. I'd start to get a headache. And in 20 minutes, I've been at work, and in 20 minutes from the time I start to get a headache, I have passed out at work. And it was because I had infection in my body from my kidneys. Didn't know what it was. Finally, I went to the doctors, and they thought I had, that they were treating me for some kind of rare jungle fever that I got down in the jungles of Central America and South America during the war. That's what they were treating me for. But they didn't know what it was. They said I had contacted some rare jungle fever. And they weren't helping me one bit. And I happened to walk one day, one of these attacks was coming on me. And I felt it, and I went over to a doctor where at that time he went in and he treated you for, I think it was $3 was the charge of his call. I included the medicine, everything. And we had been going there, and he knew us, and I went over there, and I told the nurse I need to see him quick. And they always had about 20, 30 people. And she took me right in.
because she knew they knew I was busy. And they knew. Anyway, I told him, and I told him about this other doctor who was treating me and what he said, and he looked at me, and he said, "How much milk do you drink?" And I told him, he said, "That's what's the matter with you. You've got infection in your kidneys. You've got poison to your system from drinking milk." Well, the consequence of that is that I have had 3 major operations from stones, not in my kidneys, but in my bladder. And 2, this hospital here in town and the one in Little Rock, they've taken from me at both hospitals the largest stone ever removed in those hospitals from the bladder of a person. And thank the Lord that they will never return again. But because I didn't have proper care, they came back. But anyway, you see, it was because my body wasn't taken care of. And I have problems today. I have to be very careful today, and we'll probably, the doctor told me the rest of my life, unless God heals me of that, that I have to be careful because my kidneys are weak. They don't bother me, but they're weak, and the infection will return if I'm not careful anyway.
Okay. Can a Christian have a curse?
Can a Christian have a curse? You can curse yourself by what you say. You can be cursed by what others say, and you can be cursed by that that's worked against you. We here at the campground have had witchcraft worked against this place, and we found out about one such incident, and they were working witchcraft against us that the buildings would catch on fire and burn. We have campers who come in here and camp. And I found out that we had a camper that was camping here and had been here about 3 weeks, and that they were having seances around the fire out by their trailer. I just thought they were building a little fire there. But I found out that they were having seances around this fire, Satan worship. And I went down either that evening or the next morning and told them that they had to move by noon. And when I did, I caused havoc in the satanic world. And I found out in about a week that they had contacted all the covens around this area for them all to do witchcraft against us so that the buildings would burn down. And we had to take authority and dominion over that and stand against it. And of course, it didn't happen. But it could have happened if the Lord saw to it that we found out about it so that we could take authority against it and stand against it. Curses are very real. And now, let's take another line of curses. Maybe you were going to ask me.
Go ahead.
But let's take curses of the Bible. You say, "I can't have a curse from the Bible." Well, I didn't think so either. See, all these things we're talking about, that I'm talking about here, I didn't think were applied to me. And God's had to show me these things by picture of happening, see, so that I know that it was real and that it wasn't just because somebody told me that, see. Now, the curses in the Bible, I thought that when Jesus died on the cross, that all the curses were gone. That was my teaching from my background, that when I died, or that when Jesus died, all the curses were covered. When I got saved, I took care of everything. That's what I was taught, that's what I believed, and until the Lord produced a graphic picture for me to change my understanding and show me if I was wrong. And it wasn't too many years ago, right here in this room, that it happened, that the Lord showed me. I was teaching one day, one Thursday night, on the blood of Jesus. And in so passing by, I read the verse that Brother Pittman referred to last night. I just read it. It had nothing to do with what we were teaching, Leviticus 3:17. I read that verse. And there was a person in our Bible study that night that the Lord woke her up and told her that was the reason, and that verse says, "You shall, it's perpetual to all your generations that you shall eat neither fat nor blood." That's what 3:17 is. The Lord woke her up in the night and told her to get up and study all that she could find in the Bible about blood. She got up and began to study on it, and then the Lord told her the reason that your family is all dying from sugar diabetes is because you have disobeyed my commandment and you have eaten blood. Now, she had never eaten blood. She was clean of it. She had never eaten it. Her mother had eaten it, but her mother had never made it. Blood sausage, blood pudding, blood soup. Her mother had never made it, so they had never had it. But her mother had eaten it because her grandmother had made it. And her great-grandmother had made it. They had. And her great-grandmother had died from sugar diabetes. Her grandmother had died from sugar diabetes. Her mother had died from sugar diabetes. She had two sisters who were in very bad condition with it. And one of them had lost either one or both of her feet from it. And she was on the, and she had just come back 2 days before from the doctor, from having a complete, she had gone in and had a complete physical. First time she had it done in years. And in so doing, the doctor said, you're on the verge of sugar diabetes. You've got to watch your diet. And here 2 days later, I get up and do a study on the blood of Jesus, and I read that verse, which didn't mean a thing to me. And God used it to show us that his curses that visit to the third and the fourth and the tenth generation are real, and they're in our lives. But I said that I got saved and Jesus took all my curses on Calvary, so it didn't apply to me. So God used her to show me that I was wrong. So she did a study and come back on Sunday morning and raised her hand. We're going to have prayer. I said, anybody need to have a prayer request? And she said, I'd like to say something. She got up and told what happened through the week and how she'd made this study about eating of blood and of fat. And basically, blood is what she had really. And there are, I believe, if I am correct, there are some 26 scriptures in the Bible, both Old and New Testament. About half of them are in the New Testament. There is no such thing to me as Old and New Testament. It's just one book. But anyway, she had found that there as many in both books as one as the other. And I prayed for her. And then the Lord showed me, and there were several in the room at that day that got stood up for prayer to have the curse broken off of them. And the Lord showed me that Galatians 3:13, where Jesus said he became a curse, so we don't have to bear the curses, that we have to apply and appropriate it. It's not automatic. His salvation, when we got saved, did not apply to the curses. Now, God's sovereign, he can do what he wants. He's delivered people when they got saved of alcohol and drugs and all kinds of things, and others he hasn't. So God's sovereign. But that salvation is salvation, and healing is healing. The Holy Spirit's the Holy Spirit, and the curses are the curses. So we have to apply and appropriate Galatians 3:13 to the curses and to break them off of our lives from our ancestral sins.
Can you play Christianity without it hurting you? For instance, is it okay just to casually read the horoscope in a paper every day?
Well, if you play with sin, you'll get burnt. If you play with fire, you'll get burnt. That's the way I should say that. So if you play with those things, they'll get a hold of you, and you'll have problems and wonder where it came from. It's come because you've disobeyed the word of the Lord. So stay as far away as you can.
Can you ignore divine order in the family, in the home, in the church?
Well, if you do, again, you'll be hurt. Because God set up an order, and God doesn't change his order. And we are to follow the order that God gives. And God doesn't deviate. Scripture says that in times before, He gave the commandments and all that. He winked at things, but now he doesn't wink at it anymore. So, people say, well, what about those who don't know? Well, I can't answer for them, but God says that we're not ignorant.
Amen. Can you separate healing and deliverance? Can you just pray for healing and ignore deliverance?
Well, in most cases, there is a demon attached to a disease. Now, if I cut my hand here the other day and I pray for it for healing, I don't believe that there was any demon attached to that hand, because when I lit the furnace and the gas went poof, I don't know what, but I jumped and I tore my hand up. Now, there might have been some cause, but I don't think any demon was really involved in me when I cut my hand. But in my sickness and my infirmities, I believe that you have to have deliverance, or that there is a demon involved, whether it's in you or out of you or what, there is a demon involved with every sickness. And every sickness is not of God. God doesn't cause us to be sick. He may allow it, and does allow it, because of our sins and our disobedience. But he is not the cause of it or the preparator of it. There's a demonic spirit or a familiar spirit that carries it down the family line, which has to be bound and the curse broken, and then you can cast that spirit out and bind it so it can't come back.
What is the origin of evil?
The origin of evil? Well, the origin of evil was when Satan decided that he wanted to be God. That's the origin of evil.
Okay, how about false strength in people, where they feel like they have a false strength?
Well, that's a demonic power out there. There are times, I believe, when God has given people strength to do things that's supernatural. But when they have this power that they say, we had a phone call here just a week before camp meeting from somebody in town here who said they was a witch and their car was stuck. And this girl told Irma, she said, I got supernatural strength. She said, so I just picked the car up out of the hole that it was in. Because I've got, well, that supernatural strength, because she's not that kind of a big of a girl or anything, and that was demonic.
What do you think about puppets and puppetry and that so forth?
Well, that is fantasy. It's fantasy and it's make-believe. And I think we've got an article back there on the table all about that. Also, dolls is involved with that. We have several testimonies. The dolls talking to children, especially the Cabbage Patch, these dolls, and the what's the name of that other doll? The Barbie doll. The dolls literally talking to the children and getting up and walking and moving from one place to another in the room.
Okay, thank you, Brother Glenn.
I didn't know I was going to get involved.
The Lord just impressed me to get Brother Glenn to help complete this lesson here, and also to comment about things that I commented about there along the way, and sort of as a check and balance on me, the things that I feel like the Lord has shown me and what I have experienced and what I've seen in the Christian life. And I think that was real good, and I thank you, Brother Glenn. Okay, let's get into some demons. Okay, why don't y'all stand up?
Yeah. You need to rephrase that.
Okay. Let's get out of some demons then. Okay, praise the Lord. Take a stretch. Praise God. Has this been an education for you to take an overall look at Christian fantasy, Christian traditions, and get my teaching, get Glenn's teaching?
The other thing I was going to say, and I'm not going to talk about it, but I'll say that it's crosses. And the origin of them goes clear back again to Babylon. That's where they originated from. And,
The doves, too. That was Remus' sign.
Yeah, and the dove, the sign of the Holy Spirit, which is a true sign of the Holy Spirit, but it was used hundreds of years before the dove descended on Jesus at Jordan.
See, we came into the full gospel movement and we heard all these things and we thought they were great. But through the years, we have tested a lot of these and found out them to be false. So, we've had to retrain ourselves. And this is a Christian life. You have to retrain yourself from the traditions of man, from the false teachings of man. Okay, let's pray a prayer. We break the power of the ruler of demons. Over every family, and organization. We break demonic ties, bonds and caps. We break soul ties to pastors, religious leaders, or any Christian who has been trying to control us. We break curses. Placed on us by submitting our wills to others. We break curses brought by charismatic witchcraft and control. We break the curse of Jezebel and Ahab. We renounce false gifts given by Satan. We drive out all demonic works and associated spirits Of witchcraft and mind control. In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. You may be seated. And I'm going to pray a prayer here. We come against all powers, principalities, evil forces in this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We come against all demons inside or outside of anyone present, over the city, state, nation, world, in hell and out of hell. The Bible says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We intend to exercise that power to set ourselves free. Satan, we come against you by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, by the word of God in the name of Jesus, by the authority of believers in the unity of our spirits. We command that you line up in rank and file in order and come out quickly. We bind every power that you have. We'll loose ourselves from you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we just ask that you loose legions of angels, warring angels, ministering angels, the Holy Spirit, the sevenfold Spirit of God to come down and do a mighty work on earth today. We call for all our spiritual warfare. Father, just ask that you surround this place, cut off every demon communication from the outside to the inside, remove every loose demon from the air around us, so we don't have to deal with the demons in the people. And Father, I just pray that you'd have your way here today, that you would manifest the gifts as necessary to minister to the people. We praise you, we thank you, we love you, Father. We totally submit ourselves to you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise and credit for everything that's said and done here today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and take total authority over Satan according to the holy word of God. Amen. All right, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command every demon to come out in these common demon families. Every root, memory, scar, nest, and habit, ruler, demon, and lesser demon, every demon named and unnamed in these common demon groupings, I command you to start coming out in the name of Jesus Christ. And I remind every evil spirit that you be cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm shall never die and the fire shall never be quenched. You'll be cast in there with your master Satan. You'll be in total loneliness and total despair. You'll have worms on your heads and maggots on your feet. You'll be tormented for eternity. The smoke will never quit ascending out of hell. I remind you of the Word of God. We accept the Word of God in simple childlike faith. We accept the whole Word of God. We believe it's the holy inspired Word of God, and we use it against you as a weapon in a warfare. And we use everything that has happened at this count up to this point as a weapon in a warfare against you. We use the fasting on Thursday as a weapon to drive out the mystery demon, to drive out that mysterious demon or any spirit of epilepsy in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out, start coming out in the name of Jesus Christ as your names are called or as your families are called. Come out, every spirit of Christian fantasy and Christian fables, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I call those fantasy demons out. Christian fantasy, Christian tradition, Christian fables, Christian cliches, all these spirits, I command those to go in Jesus' name. I bind your power and I drive you out of the people right now. All fantasy. Fantasy and fables, tradition and cliches. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out, the family of lies. I call you out. Lies, lying, deceit, and deception. Come out of the people in Jesus' name. That's right. All lies, lying, deceit, and deception. Anything, any falsehood. I call all the falsehood out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out. Come out of the people right now in Jesus' name. Now come out, spirits of lack of knowledge and ignorance, spirit of ignorance, wanting to remain ignorant. I command you to go in Jesus' name, spirit of ignorance, or if I'm ignorant, nothing will happen to me. Come out, that spirit of ignorance or desire to remain ignorant, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out right now, spirit of laziness and slothfulness. Come out, spirits of laziness, spiritual laziness, spiritual slothfulness. I call you out in Jesus' name. I come out of people, I bind your power, and I drive you out right now in Jesus' name. Spiritual laziness, spiritual slothfulness, I call that spiritual slumber. Come out, those demons that put us to sleep in the service. Slumber, and come out, spirit of slumber and sleepiness. I call out that spirit of sleepiness and spirit of slumber. Spirit of laziness and slothfulness, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out, demons of playing church, playing Christianity, playing church. I command those to go in Jesus' name. Come out, the demons of playing church and playing Christianity. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out, spirits of lying teachers and lying prophets. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, lying teachers and lying prophets. False teaching, false prophecy. I come against false teaching, false prophecy, heresy, damnable doctrine. I come against all those demons in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, false prophets, false teaching, lying, teaching, and so forth, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of people right now in Jesus' name. Come out. I command the spirit of false witness to come out. Spirits of false witness and falsehood. False witness, falsehood. Come out in Jesus' name. All lies and lying, deceit and deception. Come out, spirits of pat phrases. I call out the demons of pat phrases. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, all deceit and deception in Jesus' name. Pat phrases, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of soulish prophecy. I call out the spirits of soulish prophecy, where the people have been controlled by soulish prophecy, where they've been given soulish prophecy to control them. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Go, demons of spiritual adultery. Come out, spiritual adultery in Jesus' name. Go, all these false dreams, come out right now, spirits of false dreams and false visions, nightmares, hallucinations, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, false dreams, nightmares, hallucinations, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I call out the spirit of charismatic witches and warlocks. Come out, spirit of charismatic witches, spirit of charismatic warlocks, come out in Jesus' name. For we've been controlled by charismatic witches and warlocks, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, every spirit of false prophets and false prophetesses. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Male or female demons, I call you out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out of people right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, every spirit of hypocrisy and mocking and mockery. Come out, hypocrisy, mockery. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go. Come out, every spirit of vile imaginations and vile affections. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Vile affections and imaginations. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, every spirit of theatrics, play acting, sophistication, pretension. Go right now, hypocrisy. Come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Vile affections and imaginations. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I call out that demonic spirit of divination. Come out, the demonic spirit of divination. I command you to go in Jesus' name. I come against all false gifts. Come out against false gifts and false fruits. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of greed. I call you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit of greed, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We break your power and we drive you out in Jesus' name. Spirits of greed, come out, spirits of gluttony and drunkenness. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of gluttony, spirits of drunkenness. Those families go in Jesus' name. Go, I call out spirits of mind control, mind blanking, mind bondage, mind occult. Spirits of confusion, come out in Jesus' name. Come out right now, spirits of confusion. Mind control demons, mind blanking demons. Spirits of hypnosis and self-hypnosis, come out in Jesus' name. Hypnosis and self-hypnosis, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, all false gifts and fruits, we command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, false gifts and false fruits, I command you to go in Jesus' name. I bind your power and I drive you out in Jesus' name. Come out, fear of rejection, fear of men's opinions, fear of disapproval, bitterness, rebellion, stubbornness, anti-submissiveness, disobedience, fear of criticism, insecurity, timidity, inadequacy, ineptness, distrust, fantasy, compromise, fear of failure, ego, pretense, argument, mockery, cynicism. Go in Jesus' name. Go, every spirit of dread, apprehension, roving, restlessness, unreality, indifference, passivity of mind, lethargy, depression, discouragement, defeatism, hopelessness, heaviness, burden, forgetfulness, rationalization, deception, discontent, fatigue, selfishness, hypocrisy, smug complacency, shame, sexual impurity, cult involvement, embarrassment, self-will, disgust, worry, anxiety, fear of reproof, fear of confrontation, confusion, doubt, unbelief, indecision, procrastination, pride, play acting, frustration, hyperactivity, carelessness, heedlessness. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, all charismatic witchcraft. Rejection by Christian brothers, sisters, and pastors. Rejection of deliverance in Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Rejection by husband, wife, mother, father, children. Rejection between deliverance workers and pastors. Rejection in the womb, of self, of others, hurts and deep hurts by Christians. Touch me not, inability to give or receive love, conception and lust. Go, every spirit of false doctrine, hearsay, false preachers, teachers, evangelists, prophets, and apostles, false tongues, prophecy, interpretation, demonic gifts, false religions, religious cults, Eastern religions, false love, sweetness, sentimentality, false prosperity, love of money, think and grow rich, money by faith, false positive thinking, metaphysical faith, soulish faith, false charismatic movement, false partial gospel, false shaking, quaking, crying, or putting on a show, false cooperating in discipleship. Come out, every spirit of charismatic witchcraft, witches, and warlocks. Domination, control, manipulation, dictatorial, mind control, blanking, blocking, binding, confusion, witchcraft, occult, antichrist, familiar spirits, divination, Jezebel, Ahab, passivity, destruction of the family priesthood, lukewarmness. Come out, every demon of commanding angels for riches, imaging, and visualization. Greed, covetousness, mammon, financial poverty of workers, pastors, churches, and camps. Come out, a different gospel, another Jesus, apostate religion, almost fooling the very elect, spirit of error, spirit of the world, aborted spirit. Come out, ruler demons over workers, pastors, families, churches, camps. Soul ties and curses from control. Every demon that comes in through soul ties and curses from control, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, every spirit of despondency, despair, defeat, hopelessness, morbidity, strife, contention, bickering, quarreling among brethren, inability to work with other Christians, denominational spirits, separation, infighting, spiritual pride, ego, vanity, preeminence, haughtiness, self-idolatry.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.